Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And John.
And this week, we have two very special guests with us. They are the creators of the online comic, Cowboys and Robitussin, and it is Christopher Walter and Lauren Needleman. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing well. We also talk at the same time.
Yes.
Yep.
It's freaky. It's really freaky. Yeah.
You can tell you've been working together a long time. You just
yeah, kind of.
So we, you know, you guys have been on the show before when we our Wizard World coverage from this year. We talked to you for, I guess, about 5-10 minutes, and we wanted to have you on and do a full episode with you because you guys are fun to talk to.
Aw, you're gonna make me blush.
I can't get Fine Art Deadpool out of my brain. Okay, that's the real reason.
You just want to see the rest of Fine Art Deadpool, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
He might have a Smurf living in that mushroom. I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
Just be glad this is a podcast, people. That way you don't get the visual.
Scarred for life.
I'm going to have to draw that now.
We're just not big enough to handle lawsuits yet, you know? Pain and suffering.
I think that'll be the artwork for this episode.
Yes. Papa Smurf coming out of a dildo. Great.
Okay.
All right. So one of the ways we'd like to normally kick off our show is when we interview someone, is ask them how they got started. So we'll start with ladies first, Lauren. How did you first get started doing art?
I've been pretty much doing art as long as I can remember, pretty much like since preschool. Instead of like playing outside or whatever, I would just, you know, sit inside and doodle. And so that's just kind of become a profession, I guess.
Do you remember when you made that decision, though, that's what you wanted to do with your life?
Yeah, I would say about middle school, like, just a daily hobby, and my mom one day is just like, let's actually do something with this. So she shipped me off to this after school program, and that's where I started to learn, like, all of the basics and just start growing from there.
Oh, cool. So your mother encouraged you. That's always good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's been super supportive throughout this whole process.
Cool. And is there anything, how do I put this? What is your, you know, besides just doing art, what is like your vision of where you want to go?
Well, I've always been super into cartoons. Mm-hmm. So I would like to kind of, I guess, just start making my own series in some sense, just like making the pictures that I've made over the years come to life.
Right.
So, yeah, just something like that, I guess.
Cool. And how about you, Christopher? How did you get started?
I think it started when I took my first breath. to hear my mom tell it, I'd always been drawing. And I just remember doing it since I was like 5, you know, like I just always been doodling, picking up pens and getting frustrated with the fact that I couldn't always get the noise that was in my head onto paper.
Mm-hmm.
I get really mad after like in 2 pencil strokes. If I make one mistake, it's not perfect. Like Lauren, you could probably attest to this too. It's just like you look and you're like, no, that's not right. It sucks. And you start over and it's been like that for at least the last 31 years that I can remember. It's been like that.
So you're a fun guy to be around at times.
No, most of the time. I actually quit drinking so I'd be more fun.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I was just an angry bastard when I got drunk. Yeah. So like, I figure no more of that. No more of that.
Well, perfectionism is a blessing and a curse.
I know. I know. It really is.
And the same thing, like, so, you know, 31 years, doing this, are you where you thought you would be? Where do you think, you know, you're going with your art?
Well, I always wanted to do comic strips, like, mm-hmm. as far back as I can remember, like, reading Calvin and Hobbes every day. It's the only reason I picked up a newspaper when I was a kid. And just, like, Bill Watterson's work and just how beautiful it was. Like, I always wanted to do a strip like that. And then I read The Killing Joke when it came out. That was my first comic. I'm 7 years old. I'm reading The Killing Joke.
Hmm.
Wow, you've lived long enough to see it ruined. I mean,
I did see the movie. I think the voice cast was amazing. And I do this every time I watch a movie. It comes from having studied film. I always see the good parts first. And Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, Tara Strong.
Oh yeah,
they were all great. Like even Ray Wise as Commissioner Gordon. You know, like, he was good. I think the director wasn't right. The animation director, it wasn't dark enough. It wasn't dark enough. It wasn't what I would have done. I've had this comic playing as a movie in my head since yes. I was seven. And I think the biggest problem was they tried to copy Brian Boland's style mm-hmm. in a way that you could animate, and they kind of screwed the pooch on that. It was too bright. There were nuances in Brian Boland's work, like, just that made everything seem real. Like, just little touches, like a guy barfing on the bar in the background. You know, like stuff like that they didn't have in the movie. It's like they tried to make it PG with R-rated content.
Well, the R rating was for the bat sex. I mean,
all right, the Batgirl prologue, I didn't even care about. I actually enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed it. It has been touched on that Batman has had relationships with Barbara Gordon in the animated series before, specifically Batman Beyond. So that didn't bother me at all. And I think it made you feel what happened when the Joker shot her a little bit more for those who hadn't read the comic and didn't know that she became Oracle and all that stuff. So I really didn't mind it, and it did make it feature length. So I think that was a good call. The director just, no.
All right. So I'm going to disagree with you on the point here. Uh-oh. Cease, being somebody who I wasn't as young as you, but I'm older than you. So I've been, I've had
some. So you're no better. Sorry.
Are you really pulling the I'm the old man?
No. But I'm saying, I read that book when I was 12, and it's been in my collection ever since. And I kind of felt like, because to me, the story had always been about Batman and Joker's relationship and the parallels between them and the whole idea of, you know, they both had a bad day and were driven the directions they were, and that was the whole point of it. And of course there's the ending that they didn't kind of stick to in the movie. And by adding all the Batgirl stuff, you've now made it a Batgirl movie and taken the focus away from the relationship of Batman and Joker, which, yes, something tragic happens to Batgirl in the story, but that was always kind of like, that wasn't the focus of the story. That was kind of a not to say a throwaway piece, but that was an ancillary thing to, you know, the reasoning why Joker did that had nothing to do with the fact that she's Batgirl. It had to do with the fact that he wanted to hurt Batman. You know,
well, it had everything to do with he wanted to hurt Commissioner Gordon enough.
Right, right.
To drive him crazy. But the way I looked at the Batgirl prologue was kind of like the shorts before a Disney movie. that's the best way I can describe
it. Yeah.
Because they're completely different features. They had completely different tones and feels to them. So it was...
I think a lot of feels, that's for sure.
It was honestly like Frozen Fever for Batman. That was, you know, it was a short that went before the actual film. And if it helps to look at it that way for people so that they can appreciate it for a separate piece, the separate piece it was intended to be, then maybe that'll help deplete the anger. Because I think they did the best job they could with who they had. The biggest problem was the director. And... honestly, I think it was lazy. The animation was just lazy. I think you needed, like, if Chris Nolan did animation, if they could have gotten Chris Nolan to do the Killing Joke and direct the animation, it would have been fucking amazing. And oh my god, can I curse? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I'm just remembering you guys saying, "Oh, well, there goes our G rating." Yeah.
Well, we kind of blow the G rating every time at one point or another. So you know,
G rating's not the only thing you blow. Oh, there. All
right. I like these guys. Nice.
So Lauren, did we just totally ruin the movie for you, or have you watched it?
I have not watched it, but now I guess I have to.
Yeah, you do.
Now I'm intrigued.
Well, let me just add an opposing viewpoint for the Batgirl thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like a short in the beginning, but the relationship that was described between Barbara Gordon and Bruce Wayne in Batman Beyond happened after they had both pretty much hung up their cowls. You know, it was something that gradually happened after they had both had enough experience behind them for the age difference to not make a difference, and for the teacher student relationship to have not been a problem. But this kind of made Batgirl kind of a love struck groupie more than, you know, this hero that goes out every night and risks her life. You know, they made it almost like the only reason she was there was to, you know, to get his attention.
I mean, the way they wrote the dialogue, if you just look at the dialogue, yes, she does seem like a fangirl, but I think it just speaks to Tara Strong's skill.
Oh, yeah.
That she didn't play it like that at all.
Oh no, yeah.
She played it like somebody who was just like fed up with having feelings for somebody who doesn't have feelings for her. And she was very conflicted and very confused. And all like, what the fuck is going on? And, you know, bat sex happened. Yeah. And then she was like, great, now I just fucked myself.
Hmm.
You know, literally. Yeah.
And like you said,
she was so great that she took crap dialogue and made you actually feel for her instead of going, just shut up, you know? And I thought that was great. I can't praise the voice cast enough.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Tara Strong anyway, but, you know, all of, even Bruce Timm actually had a few lines in there too, you know, as a patrolman. But the voice cast, Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill, of course, coming back as the Joker after he keeps saying, no, I'm never doing it again. Well, you know, maybe one more time.
How could he possibly say no?
Exactly. You know, Brian George as Alfred. They were good. They did the best job they could. I agree with you 100%. The director just didn't quite have it. But we'll still talk to him if he wants to get on the show. So, you know.
I'm not saying that he's a bad director. I'm just saying that he wasn't the right choice for something as deep as The Killing Joke. I'm also super biased. Like, that's what got me into wanting to do comic books. You know, like, it's...
Right.
So, was it the interesting stuff that...
You know, like, my favorite panel is when he comes up and sees himself in his reflection. He's got the ha-ha-ha going on, his fingers in his hair. I had that tattooed on me. It's, like, my favorite comic book panel ever. You know, and... The Killing Joke is part of who I am. So I was always going to be disappointed on some level because it's not what I would have done. But this was just really a bad choice in director. But everything else about it I loved.
All right. Sorry for all those spoilers for those who haven't watched it yet. Anyway.
I figure if they're listening to a podcast called Superhero Speak a week after The Killing Joke came out, that they've had plenty of time to see it. So if they get spoilers, there's their warning.
They just have to listen to it backwards.
Yeah.
So you guys do your webcomic, Cowboys and Robitussin. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We started off doing a radio show at Monco a couple years ago, and that's Montgomery County Community College, for don't know. I was in the communications department, and I was taking an animation class, met Lauren, and I was doing this radio show, and I was like, dude, come be my co-host. You're awesome, super cool, and it ended up being great. We just worked together so well, and it was crazy. Like, we'd have a 2-hour show, and a half hour each week was spent on the cock block, which we honestly play nothing but songs about penises. Just
there goes the PG rating. Go ahead.
Okay, wait, hold on. Give me an example of a song about a penis that you would play.
Have you heard the song called Enormous Penis by I always forget their name. Da Vinci something.
Da Vinci's Notebook.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I can't say I've heard that song.
There's also Maynard's Dick by Tool.
Okay.
The Penis Song by Monty Python.
Are you familiar with the song Wet Dream?
No, but I'm familiar with the act. No.
I'm just trying to picture having enough songs to fill, you know, you said 2 hours?
Well, no, it was just a half hour.
Oh, a half hour. Okay.
So it'd just be like a block of songs about penises.
Okay.
And that went on for a semester every week. Great. So that's how we started off. And then when Lauren transferred to the Moore College of Art, I still wanted to keep that kind of thing going. And at this point,
you can't let it go to waste.
Yeah, you really can't. You have to share it with the world. And I'd just gotten back into drawing again after a hiatus that I like to call 15 years in the service industry. it was so soul crushing. But I finally started getting back into everything, and I got my Calvin and Hobbes collection, finally. Everything that was ever published that was Calvin and Hobbes. And started reading that again. I was like, dude, we need to do a comic strip. And Laura was like, yes! And then...
In that voice, exactly.
That was exactly... there's a lot of, hey, come over, let's do some character designs. And then not talk about it for like 3 months. And then be like, so, okay, that thing. And we'd both been kind of working on it in the back of our heads. Like, and it was magic. Lauren, what's your take on it?
It started off as like this mini side project, and I guess over the years it's just kind of gained momentum, you know. So we have like the daily comic now, which is nice. We're actually like banging out a bunch of work, and it's starting to pay off, I think.
Yes.
So the I did read the first week of comics that you guys have up, and it was dedicated to Pokemon Go, a subject near and dear to John's heart.
Yeah, I did like those. I did appreciate them.
So are the characters based on you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. the character who's me in the comic, his name is Logan. And I actually put my fiance in there too. In the comic, her name is Rose. She's the very pregnant one.
Ah. She's the one who installed it on your phone while you were sleeping.
Yep, that bastard.
Nice.
So it's that's your real life. Is that what am I understanding here? That's what really goes on?
Yeah, yeah, except in real life, my Doctor Who scarf isn't bigger on the inside. one thing that keeps happening in the comic is Logan just can pull random stuff out of his Doctor Who scarf. It don't matter what it is. Like, it's context sensitive, I suppose, and pull out whatever he wants. It's one of those things that you do.
Psychic paper scarf. Yes.
Yeah. Or a scarf of holding.
Well played.
Yeah, he rolled a 20 and got a cool scarf. I don't know.
Only according to the AD&D book, not third edition, of course.
Oh, of course. No, I only played AD&D. They're the ones that had Dragonlance. Print represent.
Hey.
Nerd deep cuts. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Not
straight
not
out of deep, Anthelon.
You know? More like nerd archaeology, but you know.
Yeah. Dude, I found a 3.5-inch floppy for the Dragonlance Mac game. I don't even own a Mac. I'm just gonna frame it. I'm gonna put it in a shadow place. It's got Tasselhoff Burfoot on the cover, like
Tasselhoff.
Yeah, he's like got his hoe pack. He's like stabbing a draconian in the face. Like, he actually looks badass. And I'm just like, but you're Tasselhoff.
Yeah,
you're like Merry and Pippin all in one.
More likely, he's stealing everything off of the damn
draconian. No, he's not stealing it. He's just holding.
Oh yes, that's right.
Holding onto it for you. He totally forgot that he was doing that.
That's right. What was it? Anything that they had for more than a week became a family heirloom.
Yeah,
because of the amount of stealing.
Yeah, yeah. Kender, oh my god.
Yeah, the Kender.
I loved playing a Kender. My character died so many times from the taunt. I remember one game, dude, somebody we had to talk to was bald, and I said, hey, pleasant to see you, hair. And then he threw me in the fire pit. I was level one. That sucked.
Oh, that's awesome. Somebody else that knows those. That's cool. Did you ever play? Was it not Dragonlance? Forgotten Realms?
No. Honestly, I only ever really played the Dragonlance stuff because I loved Kryn. I loved everything about that world. I even played some on the New Continent. I don't really remember those games because I think I was in the mood to try to be Raistlin.
Oh, of course, everybody did.
Game. Yeah, well, dude, who didn't want to be Raistlin? He was awesome.
You know, he wanted to be his brother. Everyone wants to be the all-powerful mage, not the guy who could take off anybody's head with one shot.
Well, yeah, the all-powerful mage becomes a god. Who don't want to do that?
Is Lauren a gamer?
Somewhat, a little bit. I spent most of my days as an 8-year-old playing Ocarina of Time and other Zelda games.
There you go.
I think just exclusively Nintendo for the most part.
8 years old playing Ocarina of Time. I feel old now. Thank you.
I used to buy and sell used copies of those games. Back when Funko Land was a thing.
Oh, okay. And so I was reading the strip through your Facebook page, Cowboys and Robitussin. Is that the only place people can read it right now, or?
No, I put them up on Christopher Walter Art as well.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Also, I have links on the Instagram and the Twitter.
The Twitter.
So I tend to share it around because I'm a whole lot dead.
Yes, you got to share things with the twatter.
Oh my.
Why does he always get copied in on our phone calls, damn it?
What?
That it's you get the reference, don't you? You're the one who made the am I the only one?
Yes. Yes, you are. It's only in your head right now.
George Takei?
Yes.
Oh.
That's why you said that, right? That's a George Takei reference.
Yes.
Actually, it's a Dragon Ball Z abridged Team 4-Star reference, but...
Hello, I'm George Takei.
Yeah. And
you're listening to Superhero Speak.
You'd have to see the abridged version of Dragon Ball Z, but it's every time somebody makes a call, George Takei somehow gets pulled into the conference, and every time they say something with even a little bit of innuendo, it's oh my.
This podcast might be getting too nerdy for me.
Nerd overload.
Sorry, is there not enough Deadpool schlong for you?
There goes the PG-13 rating.
Nobody speaks Yiddish anymore. They don't. Schwanz.
Is schlong really Yiddish?
I don't know. I know Schmeckel is.
Oh, okay. Well, don't hurt your little Schmeckel.
Wait a minute. Isn't Schmeckel a character on Girl Meets World?
I thought it was a currency in Rick and Morty.
I'm really intrigued. Go ahead.
Rick and Morty to you, Schmeckles.
I'm really enjoying this conversation, but we are losing people left and right on these references.
All right.
My everyone watches
Rick and Morty. They're 1%.
So anyway,
conversation train derailed.
Yes. So you guys post daily, right, with the strip?
Yeah. We missed the last 2 days, only because this is my fault. I was working. My son's doing a couple weeks, so right now I'm out like 24 hours a day working harder than a cat trying to bury a turd in the marble floor.
Alliteration.
Yeah.
So you guys both have regular jobs then. In addition to this, does that make it hard to keep up with like a daily comic?
Heck, he said hard. Sorry.
Okay, I heard a lot of growling. I'm going to take that as a yes.
You would be correct.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. But I mean, we could. It's kind of like with a daily, you could make it a single panel and put it up.
Mm.
Also, like some of the best comic strips that I've read aren't always funny. You know, like Bloom County isn't always funny. You know, Pearls Before Swine and Calvin and Hobbes aren't always funny. So, like, if there's something like on your mind, you could also do a comic strip about that. Like, I had a thought and then I lost it because I coughed.
You should really have that checked out.
Like I said, I've been working all day.
Well, I mean, I assume it's very hard because, you know, like, no matter how good you are, it'd be hard to come up with a winner idea every single day.
Absolutely.
And And I know that a lot of online comics had that problem. I mean, you know, everywhere between what Dominic Deegan, Sluggy, you know, all the, a lot of them are considered old timers now because they've been around for almost 20 years. But, you know, they, I mean, and I've heard them, I've read in certain places on the internet where they've complained about, you know, it's really hard to keep up with a daily grind. And sometimes you got to take a week off. You got to recharge your batteries. They pull up the panel that says, sorry, was asleep today or whatever. But I, you know, I guess, where do you get your, where do you, what do you do to try to continue to get ideas about the comics every single day to come up with something that you think is funny or cool or whatever? I mean, it's easy with Pokemon Go. There's like 1,000 you can get from that. That'll keep you, that'll keep you for 2 months. I've
been riding on for like a week now.
But what else do you do?
For me, I just kind of take it from personal life. I know a lot of weird people.
Same here. It's just like daily interactions or like weird thoughts that'll just randomly pop in your head. It's just like, eh, maybe I can work with this somehow.
Yeah.
So, even things that are just like relatable, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not the only one that thinks this. Let's put it out there.
Yeah, like yesterday's comic, which I'm still working on. I apologize for the tardiness of it. Yesterday's comic was supposed to end the Pokemon week, and it was going to be like Logan goes to the gym, and it's all like Team Valor, Team Mystic, and then like a little instinct guy off in the corner, like, can't we all just get along? And like he's like, oh fuck that, and goes to walk away, and runs into Trump. Hillary, and a Bernie Sanders guy going, dude, can't we all just get along? It's like,
nice.
You can't get away from it. Yeah, so I know Lauren's doing a comic this week. I really can't wait to see it. I'm just going to be throwing up some of the ones I know. It's going to be really funny with Logan's character once Rose gives birth. Cause that's going to be straight out of real life.
Like, oh man.
Oh my God. Yeah. We'll wait for the birthing ones. That's going to be funny. What do you got working on, Lauren?
I'm just going off of like daily experiences right now. Just like mostly stuff with like, stress with like school and work, I guess, trying to play off of that. But I'm working with like a lot of other side projects right now, so it's all just kind of like meshing together, I guess.
I think that's one of the things that's like cool about our comic is the characters are artists too. You know, like it's, we will never really run out of material. I mean, not all of it is going to be a gem, but we're never going to run out of material because it's really just like this. I think a lot of people can relate to the stress of trying to meet a deadline or the stress of like trying to get stuff done for school. And if it's relatable, I think that people really love the comic, and that's something that like, I'm pleased that I think it was actually Lauren who said, why don't we just pull it from real life? Because we know some crazy folk, and it's just worked doing that. And I think that's awesome.
No, I mean, that's cool. Cause I mean, sometimes they say the, you know, best art imitates life, or there's truth in the art, you know, and I think that makes it probably easier, you know, and not, instead of trying to make up something that's funny, it's easier just to say, you know, my kid pooped today and it got all over me. And
yeah, it's like George Carlin said, when you tell a joke, you have to know where the exaggeration is. And literally anything can be funny. And that's kind of a mantra that I'm trying to hold true to in coming up with funny comics is like you have to know where to exaggerate stuff. And I've been watching a lot of comedy lately to try to get me back into that mindset and out of work all the time. Because all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Yeah, I do a lot of impressions. I'm sorry.
I was gonna ask, is that your backup for, you know, if the comic thing doesn't work out someday?
I actually punch nuns to get into voice acting. I really would.
You need to explain that one just a bit.
I was raised Catholic. I'm afraid of nuns. So I would have no problem punching a nun.
Hey, Vec.
To be a voice actor. Like, I'm going to hell. It's been a dream of mine to, you know.
To work. Punch nuns?
Yes. Well, those are the dreams I keep in my dream journal.
It's a reevaluation of yourself, Chris.
What? I'm just making myself look bad. I'm sorry. I apologize to all Catholics and blind people.
Wait, where did the blind people come from now?
I'm just picturing you walking around punching nuns all day. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I've lost track of everything. Oh, yes, punching nuns, right. It's been a dream of mine to do voice acting. You know, the likes of, like, Billy West and John DiMaggio. You know, I would love to work next to Tara Strong and Mark Hamill. You know, like, it's just, I would love to do that. So, yes, back up. Voice acting. Hooray me!
Heck yes.
Well, that's actually an interesting point, too, because you do voices where, like, you know, a lot of voice actors do voices and then some just do their voice all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones with a unique voice, they're great. Like, the guy that does Zim. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I love his voice. His name is Spike.
The guy that does Spike's voice, I always forget his name.
Oh, Steve Bloom.
Yeah, he's
done Wolverine in a couple of video games, mm-hmm. and a couple of cartoons.
Yeah, but then you got
what is Zim's name?
Oh, Invader Zim.
Yeah, the voice actor did him. What's his goddamn name?
I'm slacking on my research.
Nah, that's all right. If he's listening, he knows he's awesome. It's cool.
Okay, good. as long as he knows.
Yeah.
Right, but no, but then you get guys like Chris Hardwick, who every time he does a cartoon voice, he just does his voice, and it's like,
or Scott Menville, who did the voice of Robin in Teen Titans, and now you can hear him in a lot of other stuff, but
yes.
his voice always sounds the same.
Yeah.
As opposed to Tara Strong, where you literally cannot tell that she's playing like three characters in the same show.
Yeah. She's a goddamn chameleon, dude. I want to learn.
I'm gonna wife her someday.
Oh my god.
Now, do you think her husband asks her to do different voices every night?
No. Probably not.
Tonight, I want you to call me Puddin'.
Oh boy.
We're really trying to push this into the gutter, John.
I'm not trying. It's just happening. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. well, just go punch another nun and we'll be
all right. All right. I'll go find one with a habit this time. Fewer and fewer of those penguins nowadays.
Creeping up on R here. All right. Good. Right on target.
The force is strong with me.
The police force, but you know, go on.
Sorry, that was funny.
So, Lauren, he doesn't scare you when he talks like this?
I'm used to it at this point.
Yeah,
it's like a daily thing.
So, what would be Lauren? What would be your backup? I mean, he's got voice acting. What else would you do? And what do you do for work? Or can we ask that?
For what? I think you broke up there for a sec.
I think he said, "What's your day job?" Or can't we ask that?
Oh, no, I work at a deli.
I walk puppies.
Oh, they're the best.
I'm jealous of that job. Wish I could walk puppies.
Well,
not a good
come back job. To school. You might be able to get a part-time job walking puppies.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think of that. That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah.
Just don't take them to the deli.
Yeah, wrong hot dogs. Not good.
Deli and a dog walker walk into a bar. Oh, wait. A dog walker walks into a deli. There you go. But the dream, obviously, is, you know, to leave that all behind.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The dream is definitely on my end, do my art, make some people laugh every day, and get paid for it. That's my dream.
You know, there are a lot of online comics that I think they've made pretty good money doing that. I've got a list of like 14 that I used to read every day, and they have their own websites. I think they monetize them. Have you guys thought of doing that? Do you monetize your stuff? Or I know you've got a GoFundMe going right now.
Yeah, that was actually to help us get the Wizard World. I forgot to turn it off.
For next year.
We'll still take donations to get us equipment. That'd be cool. Maybe I'll just change the premise of it.
Don't change the premise. Just say for next year.
Yes.
Okay. I could keep it going then. I'd forgotten about the goddamn GoFundMe. Shit. And the two people that donated to help us get to Wizard World. Thank you.
Many thanks.
Many, many thanks. Thank you. We had a blast this year. Oh my god, it's so great. What was the question?
I think the question at this point is what medication do you need for your memory loss?
not working for 12 hours straight. That's what I need.
Yeah.
So basically, Robitussin.
Oh.
To put you to sleep.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll drink too much and start listening to MC Chris. Woo!
Now, the question was: Are you thinking of like? Are you gonna
monetize?
Gotta make and you want to make money off of it. And I've seen like, it wasn't Control Delete. There was like, not Sluggy. There was a whole bunch of them. And one of them was, they were selling like merchandise, like clue bats, where you buy the bat and then you hit somebody until they have a clue, something like that. And then, but they, you know, they have these huge websites that they have advertisements and all that. Is this something you're looking at all, or?
I would love to do that.
Yeah, it's definitely been on like the back burner. Like, I'm sure Chris, like, we could make stuff for the character Mufi or something like that. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still really want to introduce him in more comics. So far, the only comic that he's showed up in is the thank you to everyone at Wizard World. But yeah, there's a backstory of a Mufi. He's just some random teddy bear that lives in a tree and does horrible things, but he's so cute and cuddly that you kind of gotta love him. No, I definitely want to get a website. Problem right now is I don't have the money to buy a domain name or anything like that. It's just money is an issue. Kind of need that to make that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the best we can do right now is just like plan everything out, you know.
Yeah. On the Etsy shop, gonna start putting up. You can order an 11x17 drawing of the Cowboys and Robitussin characters. I used a likeness of my friend in the one where Logan says Team Rocket's blasting off again.
Mm-hmm.
And her family wants to buy prints of her character. and she was just some one-off, you know, random person that I needed, and she was like, yeah, dude, you can totally use my likeness, and now people want to buy stuff, and I think that's kind of a good idea. Like, if we get into, like, designing t-shirts and whatever, we can start selling those, and I think people would want to buy them, because, you know, our characters are cute. So people like cute, right?
Well, and the strip is funny. I mean, you know, you guys are just as good as any of the others that I've read.
Oh, man, now I'm blushing. Thanks. You can't see it, though, because there's no video. But I'm thank you. I appreciate that.
I think everyone will want a Moofy t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Oh, yeah. The next Sunday edition where I draw Rose, she's going to have Moofy eating a baby on her shirt.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Oh, yes.
See, so everyone needs to check that out on Sunday.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, I have to get that done. No, I actually get done work early tomorrow, so amongst doing chores and stuff, I will be... Ah, speaking of Rose, hello! Okay. Yeah, the lovely fiancé is home.
Greetings.
Hello, lovely fiancé.
Hello.
So she can hear us, okay.
Yes. Yeah, I don't listen to headphones. I got speakers. What up? But, huh. Yeah.
Do you have ears?
Yes, I have ears.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, okay then.
I got distracted. I'm sorry.
So here's a question. You obviously have, like you said, you guys have interesting characters in your lives, but you both definitely have an interesting sense of humor. Where do you think that comes from? Start with Lauren. Where do you think your sense of humor comes from?
I would say probably my family. Definitely on my mom's side, because there's, like, we're just a bunch of catty small women, so, like, we kind of just live off of sarcasm. And just my friend group that I've interacted with over the years, like, they have a great sense of humor, so I just kind of feed off of that. Cool. Yeah.
How about you, Christopher?
My sense of humor, Monty Python, my mom, and Robin Williams. That's my three things that my sense of humor comes from. You know, Monty Python, like, geez, yeah, the Ministry of Silly Walks, just people walking around stupid. It's fucking hilarious. My mom was a bartender. So she would tell me dirty jokes that I didn't get until, like, 6 years after she told me. Yeah, kind of like, what did Cinderella say when she got to the ball? That wasn't it. Then, like, I was sitting there watching TV with Mom, like, 5 years later, and I go, Ma! Like, what? What did Cinderella say when she got to the ball? You just got it? That actually didn't happen, but that's the kind of situations that would happen with her. Like, she would just tell me a joke and I didn't get it. Like, in the 90s, one of the first times Bill was running, it was the first time Bill was running, actually. Everybody hated Hillary then, too. And she drew on a piece of paper an eye plus a heart plus Hillary plus a tree plus a note, like a music note. And she says, what does that say? I don't know. I love country music.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get it. Uh-huh. I was 12 and didn't know that cunt was an insult. So the kind of jokes my mom told me. And then, of course, Robin Williams. Like, who doesn't love him? So that fits with my ADD.
So now we know why you got to read Killing Joke at 7.
Maybe.
It don't make sense.
So you did mention love of comic books. If you could work for any comic out there, what would it be?
Does it still have to be in publication?
No.
Transmetropolitan.
Oh, good choice.
Cool. What about that book do you love?
Everything. It's just... oh my god, dude, I shaved my head to cosplay Spider Jerusalem. I went and got theatrical tattoo makeup, so it looks like real tattoos when you brush it on, mm-hmm. and it comes off with rubbing alcohol and a sponge. It's deadly, deadly shit. And I go nuts to just cosplay Spider Jerusalem for 8 hours at a con. Like, I love that goddamn book. Everything from Warren Ellis's writing to Derek Roberts' pencils to Rodney Ramos' inks. Like, oh my god. It is a nerdgasm. Everyone needs to read After this podcast, if you haven't read it, go out and buy it. All of it. Now. And read it in one night. You have homework, nerds.
Okay. How about you, Lauren?
Well, I was never a huge comic book fan. Like, as far as animation goes, like, I would love to work for, like, Cartoon Network or, you know, Adult Swim or something like that.
What about a show? Is there any show that you would ever want to work on?
Oh, yeah. Probably Rick and Morty or any show that, like, emphasizes on, like, exaggeration, like, exaggerated movements, like... Adventure Time, like they have crazy plots and it's super colorful. The designs
just,
are like
you just gotta get in there and you gotta do it, Lauren. You just gotta go out there and do it.
I'm all about it.
I was trying to explain Adventure Time to somebody I work with, and I gave up after a while.
It's a hard one to explain. It's all over the place.
Who lives near Oceana Air Base? What's up with that?
It's a helicopter flying by. I don't know why. Channel 6 News. Something happened. I don't know.
Probably nothing happens. It's Channel 6 News.
Oh, yeah. That's
true. Ooh.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of nothing on local news. Like, a lot of nothing. I can't diss Channel 6. My cousin works for them. So.
Yeah. Oh, see? Your poor cousin.
No, actually, I'd rather watch Channel 6 than Fox.
Oh, that's easy. Some people would rather have a lobotomy than watch Fox. You know, I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
I gave up because I was like, it's a post-apocalyptic world where candy is now sentient and...
Uh-huh.
You know, they weren't getting it. There's a dog who can morph into anything, and he talks.
Should have sold them with the dog is Bender.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Dog is Bender.
Insert girder. Oh, sorry.
I'm going to say that next time I get laid. I mean, what?
What do you mean next time?
Really don't want to talk about that right now. Like, I don't mind like telling jokes in the comic or stuff like that, but nobody needs to know about my sex life. It's awesome.
Yeah.
See, so you're only being good because your fiance's in the room.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, good. As long as we're all on the same page.
And there's the R.
Made it, guys. Good job.
I'll get you outside, you motherfucker. Oh, oh damn, Pikachu. 466 CP, too, you bastard. I told you, man, the comic comes to life. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
466 CP, Pikachu. And she hatched one, too. I hatched a 10-kilometer Caterpie, for Christ's sake.
Oh, man. That's unfortunate. I'm sorry.
CP. 10 kilometers for a little green shriveled penis. You see that shit sticking out of its head?
You know, you have the perfect job, though, for Pokemon Go, don't you?
Yeah. Except it kills my phone battery.
Get a portable charger. Oh,
of course.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
I want to know how much portable chargers have gone up since that game came out.
About 500%.
Their stock is doing really well.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is definitely the nerdiest episode ever.
Woohoo! Hooray!
And the dirtiest.
I win the internet with nerdiness.
The dirty nerds. Anyway.
I like it.
So, I think we're good.
So we're getting close to an hour. So
oh wow, yeah.
Question that we usually like to kind of wrap up on. I think we asked you this. It was a role, but I'm going to ask again because you know people don't remember. I will start with Lauren. How do you measure success?
Success. I think just by fulfilling. I'm going to be super corny. Fulfilling your dreams and, like, what makes you happy. So, like, success to me would be fulfilling my art career, going to where I want to be, making people happy with what I create, having people relate to what I create, and just, you know, having it shared with everyone and all that good stuff.
And unicorns and fairy dust. Oh, sorry.
Yes. Throw some rainbows in there.
I'm sorry. I should have said that. And Christopher?
Yes.
Same question.
Still the same answer. 7.5 inches. But
NC-17.
Yes! I win! No. I wholeheartedly agree with Lauren. I measure success by, you know, seeing the smiles on people's faces when we talk about this stuff. You know, like if people look at my art and it takes them out of a shitty world for half a second and they get a crack a smile out of it, it's awesome. If I can have a conversation with somebody and brighten their day up, like, I've done well. For me, it's all about just sharing the fun, because it is really scary nowadays, and I don't like it. You know, scary for me is reserved for Hannibal Lecter and failed attempts to make Jason Voorhees good after Friday the 13th Part 4. That's how I measure success. If I can kind of pay it forward in a way and make the world a better place in my own little corner, then I've done well.
Cool. Actually, you know what? I have another question for you guys.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, you know, a lot of what you guys do is based on humor. And what do you do? And I'll, again, start with Lauren. What do you do when, you know, sometimes you have those days where you wake up and you're just not in a good mood?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to get out of that?
Well, I have those days more often than not, but usually, like, what I used to do is just make creepy drawings or, like, some weird, like, cryptic doodle that has to do with what I'm feeling that day. So that's kind of how I handle that. And now that I'm going to school for it, hopefully I can make, like, little shorts or something that help express those emotions and kind of just, like, channel them into something creative. Usually it makes me feel better because I have it put out somewhere.
Cool. And you, Christopher?
I take a shit. No. bad days.
Should we ask Rose?
No. sometimes on a really bad day, I don't want to do shit. I just kind of want to, like, I want to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So some days I wake up and I sketch something out and it's funny and maybe I'll publish it. But, like, most of the time it's I automatically go to John Oliver and Trevor Noah and Stephen Colbert and just watch them make fun of the ridiculousness, and it makes me feel better. I always go for the laugh, and I honestly believe that laughter is a cure for what ails you, and it's a good laxative, just so you
just to tie it all back together. I see.
Yeah, it's honestly, I look to laugh. And I'm fortunate enough that Lisa can pull me out of a funk in like 5 minutes. She's fucking hilarious. I'm very fortunate. Very fortunate. And no, I'm not saying that because she's in the room. It's just the truth. You know, I've been a lot happier, you know, since I met her. I mean, Lauren can tell you that. I've actually gotten my shit together, and this is like why we're doing the comic now, you know, like I've been happier and I want to share that with everyone. And on the bad days, I got to be reminded why I do it. And she makes me laugh like no one else. So it's, yeah, laughter. That's how I get through it.
Cool. I'm glad I asked that question. All right. So we're going to probably wrap it up here. But before we go, we actually have a couple quick announcements, if you guys don't mind.
All right.
Number one, please don't forget to come see us on August 20th at 1 p.m. It's going to be the second time we're doing the podcast live. It's going to be at Amalgam Comics in Philly. And there is a page on our website with all the information on it. So go check that out. And it's free admission, people. It's free admission. It's at a comic book / coffee shop. Nothing cooler than to do on a Saturday afternoon than come see us. So.
Just wait until I get all my props together. That's all.
Ah, jeez. No props again this time. You're going to give us another NC-17. And also, apparently today, well, it'll be 3 days when this gets posted, but today we have been told we are in the running for Podcast of the Week from Podern Family. There is a poll on Twitter that you go to vote for us. It's between us and three other podcasts. So don't worry about those other podcasts. Just vote for us. And a link to that poll will be in the description of this episode. So please give us a vote.
Yes, vote for Superhero Speak now. Since Skynet, after you, you do not vote for Superhero Speak.
Insert Shia LaBeouf here.
Oh my god! Nice. I think that's the perfect note to end it on. So thanks guys for doing this. This has been like not only the nerdiest, but I think this has been one of the best episodes we've done in a long time.
Oh, come on, you're gonna make me blush again.
For having us.
I want to do it again soon.
All right.
Anytime.
Sweet.
Cool. So, as always, boys and girls, until next time, don't let your cape caught in the door. Have a good week.